ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. There was a great discussion in a sacred Gurukula. The students, real seekers of Brahman, have started a discussion. What is Brahman? What did our Acharya teach us? And how can we implement and progress and realize that I am Brahman? So in our last class, with regard to that, in the 17th mantra, last mantra, in the 4th section, we were discussing about that what are the duties of a householder. That is to say, who is a householder? Anybody who thinks, I am the body and mind, he is a householder. Such a person's desires will be confined only to the satisfaction of the body, of the mind, and at best, he wants to have higher happiness by going to higher lokas, called Swarga lokas, varieties. Degrees of happiness is described there of such the 6 higher lokas according to Hindu division. Hindus have divided every state of experience anybody can go through into 14 lokas, starting with this earthly world, Bhuloka. There are upper 6 lokas are there. 6 lokas plus our earth, where we are. That form half of the world. And below us, there are 6 lokas are there. Or 7 lokas are there. Total 14 lokas are there. Now the point is, we are very fortunate to live in this earthly world. Because this is called Karma Bhumi. Other worlds, higher or lower, they are considered as only to exhaust our karma phala, either punyam or papam. We will be going to those lokas, either to experience higher happiness and thereby exhaust our punyam, or go to the descent to the lower lokas and exhaust our papams. But one has to come back to this earthly world to do sadhana. So here is a person who is involved, who has also evolved into a human being, not an uncouth, uncultured human being, but has awakened to some higher faculties. And he realized human life is precious. Such a person can cherish 2 desires. One, I want to be happy in this world or higher lokas. But after experiencing for some time, again and again, through a lot of labor, such a person realizes, what I want is not temporary, which is ephemeral, which is lasting for only very short time. I want permanent happiness. That is the second category of people, of which the Gita beautifully describes, out of a million people, perhaps one person awakens to the fact that spiritual life, godly life, is the only life worth. So there is such a householder, and he thinks I am the body and mind. He has faith in the scriptures, and the scriptures describe higher lokas. So he says, I want to be happy in this world as well as in the higher worlds. For such a person, the scriptures prescribe certain things, actions to be done according to one's caste. We say, though it is not a good word actually, and according to one's stage in life, Varna Dharma and Ashrama Dharma. So we presume this person, he is a good person, and he goes to the teacher, spends several years, learns all about life, comes back, and he has unfulfilled desires pertaining to the body and mind. And such a person, he performs, he desires, I want to perform this ritual. For that the Vedas tell us that you require five things. What are the five things? First, he himself should be in young age, capable of undertaking this arduous ritual. He must have his wife. You may be wondering why such a person should require a wife. Because a person imbued with worldly desires, he will be thinking, if I get a woman, a wife, then not free life, but a duly married wife, then the rightful actions can be discharged, duties can be discharged. So he requires five items. This is called pangtam. Pangtam means a group of five. So through that he has to discharge his Varna Dharma, Ashrama Dharma, which have to be discharged through the proper performance of Pancha Maha Yajnas, five great removals of debts, of which we have discussed in the past and yesterday also. So, first is himself called Yajamana, second is called wife called Patni, third is called the son, fourth is called human wealth, money, animals, servants, and many other objects for the performance of yajna, yaga, etc. And he must have control of mind, a deep faith in God, etc. So that is called divine wealth. So Yajamana, the performer, sacrificer, his wife, his son, human wealth, and divine wealth. All these five are indispensable if a person wants to properly discharge all the Pancha Mahayagnas. We presume such a person does it throughout life, throughout many lives, and he slowly awakens. He becomes evolved. Then, avruta chakshuhu amrutatvam icchan. So, uttishtata jagrata, arise, awake, approach learned ones, sit humbly at their feet, and serve them, please them, ask them what type of life I should lead. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. So this evolved person, he says, I have done physically all those things. Now from external ritual, I want to progress into higher action. That is called upasana. So such a person, now he turns his mind and the Upanishad or the Veda tells us, but the Upanishad also tells us that as long as a person doesn't get married, doesn't get a son or sons, performs all these yajnas yagas, he cannot evolve. That's why I mentioned yesterday the appropriate duties apportioned to one's own caste and to one's own stage of life, they are called Varna Ashrama Dharmas, and due discharge of these dharmas, inevitably they do certain things. Due performance, proper performance of these duties is called Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, in other words, is nothing but getting rid of our debts to these five beings, our rishis, gods, presiding deities, our ancestors, every other human being, and everything in this world. Nothing is left out. When we are grateful for our life, for our health, for our happiness, for our fulfillment, for everything, we have to give them back. That giving them back what we receive, and this is a continuous process, constant process. Every second air, for example, breathing in from the borrowing oxygen from the Vayudevata, and we have to give back what is helpful to other creatures like the trees, etc., through the proper giving away of carbon dioxide, etc. So, when a person properly discharges the duties, his mind becomes pure. This is called Chitta Shuddhi. Karma, the result of Karma Yoga is Chitta Shuddhi. What does Chitta Shuddhi do? First of all, it purifies the mind. Secondly, it generates Punyam. Punyam is the ability to squeeze happiness irrespective of any circumstance. Thirdly, mind becomes concentrated. Fourthly, mind becomes gradually expands, identifying itself, not only with one's own family, but with one's village, one's state, one's country, the world in which one is living, later on with every human being, with every non-human being, because the great fact to which even today we have not awakened is that everything depends upon everything in this world. Nothing is redundant. We can say it is useless. Let us get rid of it. God has not created anything that is redundant. Everything helps us in some way or the other. So that is called the sacred attitude, holistic attitude in scientific terms, but sacred attitude looking upon the whole universe in which we are living, that includes our body and mind, sense organs, everything, and that is looking upon everything as manifestation of God, which again and again has been taught to us. Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha, Sahasra Akshaha Sahasra Path, etc. In Vishnu Suktam, Narayana Suktam, Purusha Suktam, everywhere. The continuous refrain is everything is the body of God. Every single part is a body of the God. Nothing is actually redundant. That is a most wonderful truth we have to understand. So when a person reaches a certain stage of development, he says, I had enough of this one. Now I want to turn this external ritual into an inner ritual, and that is called upasana. That is much more important. But unless a person really does these external rituals, etc., simply sitting and saying, I don't need to do all those things, that will not help us. We cannot evolve. For everything, nursery, school, elementary school, everything is a necessity. Middle school, high school, then college, university, these are all graduated steps, and we cannot neglect even one step. So these are called external rituals, and they produce Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi sharpens our understanding, and finally we understand the goal of life, as Sri Ramakrishna says, is God realization. Now what does this person feel? I am married, I have married, I had children, so many births, I have gone to higher lokas, came down, but I still don't feel the sense of fulfillment. I still feel dissatisfaction, tremendous dissatisfaction. I am not a happy person. But don't say every unhappy person is an evolved person. No, this person was very happy for performing, having a wife, having children, having performing duties, tremendous amount of higher happiness he gets. But at the end he realizes these are all achieved through hard labor, and they're all ephemeral. Every happiness has to be re-earned because nothing will be permanent. Such a person awakens and says, I feel unfulfilled. That is called vairagya, dispassion. Not because smashana vairagya, prasuti vairagya, jobless vairagya, Markata Vairagya. No, it is because the person really evolved, says there is a higher goal. Very clearly he can understand. There is a beautiful incident. Once Swami Narendranath approached Sri Ramakrishna. I am very unhappy, so please bless me. I may progress in spiritual life. Sri Ramakrishna, he was testing Narendra. Why don't you complete your college education? Then he said, I wish I forget whatever I have learned so far. I thought that was the goal earlier. Now I understand by your grace, these are the very things are great obstructions for my future life. I wish I could forget everything and restart my life. Sri Ramakrishna was, of course, highly pleased. And Narendra was telling his real experience actually, not simply temporary vairagya. So, what shall this person do? He must discharge the same Panchamahayagna in the form of upasana. And I also interpret it in this way. Since we have been studying Taittiriya Upanishad, we are familiar with the Panchakoshas. So we can say, Bhangtam, a group of five. We have to transcend with the help of these five koshas. Every kosha, remember, has to be sacralized, looked upon with sacredness, as sacred, as manifestation of God. Body is God. Mind is God. External world is God. Somebody who is friendly is God. Somebody who is inimical, even more of God. Everything in this world is there to push me nearer to God. That is how I understand. So this person, how he ascended, or he is going to, we have seen in the Bhrigavalli also, practically, what Bhrigu had done. So this person wants to do this upasana. This is called Ahangraha Upasana, Pahanta Upasana. Pahanta Upasana means my own personality containing all the five elements, five types of wealth. The person who, the performer, his wife, his son, and human wealth and divine wealth. This is called Pahantam, five types of wealth. So, my mind is the myself, Yajamana, etc. We will see this one. My speech is my wife and my prana is my son, etc., etc. We will see the eye as well as the ear that completes the five elements. So he turns these external very things into internal contemplative instruments. And what does he want? I want fulfillment. How are you going to get fulfillment? When I perform this upasana, I will become one with Brahman. And that is, very briefly we will discuss this one. This is called Pangta Upasana. And this Pangta Upasana has another name. It is called Ahangraha Upasana. What is Ahangraha? Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Atma Asmi. Aham Ishvaraha Asmi. This feeling, like Sri Ramakrishna, by doing upasana of Hanuman, felt I am Hanuman, completely identified. Upon completion of meditation on Radha, he felt, I am not a male, I am a female like Radha, I am Radha, and my only thought is Krishna. So, that is called Ahangraha Upasana. So, the Upanishad is telling that especially, they say, in Vanaprastashrama, means the stage of withdrawal. And incidentally, whether it is Brahmachari Ashrama, Garhasthi Ashrama, Vanaprastashrama, Sannyasashrama, they're all stages in mental development. Nothing to do with age, even though age can help us. We have to crystal clearly keep this point in mind, that when I know what is life and what is the goal of life and how to reach my goal of life, I have completed my Brahmachari Ashrama. When I start practicing Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga, whether it is Christianity, Hinduism, Sikhism, Islam, Buddhism, whatever ism, I experiment taking that path which is suitable, which gives me greater joy, either through bhakti or jnana, whatever. And I start progressing. That is called grihasthashram. And in the end, when my mind matures, I don't want anything else in this world. I want to disidentify myself from this body and mind. The world is nothing but our own body and mind. And every day we experience it through this, what is called sushupti avastha. And how much peace of mind, that is called anandam, we get. So, this is what is beautifully being outlined here. So, detachment from body and mind is called vanaprasthashrama. And when we succeed, identify ourselves with the divinity within, that is called sannyasashrama. This is how we have to understand really. So, let us briefly discuss what the Upanishad is telling, how this ahangraha upasana had to be done. Manaha eva asya atma vak jaya pranaha praja. Please keep in mind that these fivefold objects necessary to complete any ritual, we have to keep in mind. The person who has decided, determined, I want to perform this ritual, he requires his wife, requires his son, requires human wealth, the instruments, the firewood, and the cows, the milk, the curds, etc., etc., and ritviks, the priests who perform, all those things are necessary. That is called manushamitam, and certain divine qualities called divine wealth. Only with this, a ritual will be really successful. So, now the rishi wants to convey, having reached this higher stage of life, the person now turns all externalities into internal activity, which is called upasana. So, he requires these five also. And why he requires these five, that is also going to be explained. So, the mind is the himself. His speech is his wife. And his vital force or prana is like his progeny or son. Then, there are only three. Manas, vak, prana. What about the other two? Chakshuh manusham mittam. So, the eyes are called the human wealth. Why? Chakshushahi tatvindate. So, it is the eye which discerns everything, which can experience, which is the giver of the greatest knowledge from outside world, then from the inside world, inner eye, which is called discrimination, the intelligence that can discriminate our experiences and come to the right conclusion, and viveka, discrimination. In Sri Ramakrishna's words is, everything is temporary, God alone is permanent. And so, everything has to be gradually given up. Given up means not throwing out, but to develop. I have no relationship with this external world. I have no relationship, no attachment to this body, no attachment to the mind. This is called withdrawal. This is called vanaprasthashrama, really speaking. So, this knowledge, through the eye, it gives us the knowledge. How does it give? Let us proceed to the next one. Shrotram daivam, shrotrena hi tat shrunoti. So, marvelously, this Upanishad is telling us, our ears is called daivi vittam. So, first is the eye, and second is the, this is, eye is the manusham vittam, human wealth, and shrotram is called divine wealth. So, why are the ears? Because when a person hears about God, about the highest life, that is called shruti. That is why Vedas are called shrutis. Through hearing only, either when we read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, the works of Swamiji, works of Ramana Maharshi, or Upanishads, or Bhagavad Gita, we get that knowledge. And that's why the ears are most important. And when the same ears are used in worldly life, we remember Madhu and Kaitabha. So we desire, everybody loves me to hear. Everybody appreciates me. They love me. Nothing can be further from truth. Nobody loves us. We have seen that one in this very first chapter, that accepting one's own Atman, nobody loves anything else. If anything is loved, it is not loved for the sake of that object. A wife is not loved for the sake of the wife. Son is not loved for the sake of the son. Wealth is not loved for the sake of wealth. Body is not loved for the sake of the body. The different sense organs are not loved for their sake, but for the sake of the Atma. Because Atma is of the nature of Ananda. We love Ananda. We come from Ananda. We live because of Ananda. Or we live in the hope of getting Ananda if I am not happy right now. Even if I am happy right now, that I am in search of higher type of happiness, degree of happiness, higher qualitative happiness, and for a long time, as long as it is possible, and only when we reach God, this condition can be really fulfilled. So therefore, all this knowledge comes to us from studying the scriptures, from coming in association with Satpurushas, great people, etc., by hearing the scriptures, etc. That is why the ears are called divine wealth. And with the help of the divine wealth, our eyes must examine this world. Is the scripture speaking the truth? So, when we see that which has birth is continuously changing, ending in that final change called death. Everything is ephemeral, excepting pure consciousness. And that observation with the eye of discrimination. And if the discrimination is proper, then slowly may take many lives. Dispassion comes. Passion turns into dispassion. Dispassion means passion turned towards God is called dispassion, not smashana vairagya. That affection, that attachment, which does not attach itself to a higher thing, that is called frustration, not higher attachment. Vairagya should never be understood in a negative manner. Vairagya means, this is a lower happiness, but I am in search of higher happiness. And when I get higher happiness, a lower happiness becomes natural, automatic. Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example, taking of course from the Shruti. Sri Ramakrishna's mouth never speaks anything excepting scriptures. Even though he said, I have not read much, I have heard much, and my mind retains in memory everything that I had heard. So this person, he turns inward. Inward means Godward. So that is called Vairagyam. And that which after discrimination doesn't make us turn towards God, there is a great defect in that discrimination. It is frustration. I would call it frustration. And a frustrated person is not a happy person. And nobody wants to cultivate the company of a frustrated person. On the other hand, Sri Ramakrishna says we have to cultivate holy company. Who is a holy man? I defined earlier, you will have to exercise your mind to remember, but one characteristic by whose presence, in whose presence, we become terribly happy without any objects to give us happiness. The mere sannidhya, presence, is enough to make our mind go up, and the more it goes up, the more happiness we feel. The higher a person progresses, the greater would be his happiness, the longer would be his happiness. This is how we have to judge. So, the whole world, am I the body mind? That is a thought in our mind. That is why this yajamana is called mind. That is why it is said, manayeva manushyanam Karanam Bandha Mokshayo. Mind alone is the root cause of both happiness as well as bondage, as well as liberation, as well as happiness and unhappiness, good and evil, everything. Mind is everything. And what we, our mind thinks, they are called thoughts. If they are holy thoughts, pure thoughts, spiritual thoughts, then that is called real progress. And if a person's mind is filled with these thoughts, then what he speaks is nothing but his thoughts. The whole gospel is nothing but the thoughts of Sri Ramakrishna. The gospel of Holy Mother is nothing but the understanding in the form of spoken words is the gospel of Holy Mother. The complete works of Swami Vivekananda, the Bhagavad Gita, is nothing but the thoughts of Bhagavan Krishna himself. That is why it is called Bhagavad Gita. Directly from the mouth of Bhagavan, these things has emanated. So, the mind is, I am the mind. Where does the ahankara, I, reside? In the mind. Therefore, it is considered Atma means myself, my real self. And then, if my mind is pure, then I am a spiritual person. If it is impure, that is called, I am a worldly person. I am identified with anatma. And then a person whose mind is filled with holy thoughts, he will speak only holy thoughts. And his deeds will be only holy deeds. And that is why to perform holy deeds, a person requires energy. And that energy is called prana. And that prana represents that power to translate our thoughts, our speech into real actions. Just imagine, you go to Sri Ramakrishna and he never talks. Then it is very difficult to understand what Sri Ramakrishna really wants to convey. Fortunate few are those people whom he touched and awakened their kundalini. That is a different issue. But usually if a person is keeping quiet, we will not know what this person is, because speech betrays a person's personality. So through these five, the ears which give us the knowledge of the scriptures, incidentally that also gives us the worldly knowledge, how to create bombs, how to destroy, how to rob a bank or other human beings, how to kill, all these things are the outcomes. A great American general once made a statement, wars are born out of the thoughts of people who are warmongers. So peace also should spring only from the minds of people whose nature is peace and who wants peace. This is a beautiful teaching we have to understand. So this Ahangraha Upasana is to understand that God has given me mind, and this mind is meant for cultivating higher thoughts, and higher thoughts, of the higher thoughts, cultivating ahankara. That is, I am a servant of God. I am a friend of God. I am the parent of God. I am a child of God. I am the beloved. I am the lover of God. All these things must come only from higher, lower to higher mind in spiritual progress. And accordingly, the thoughts also will come. Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva, tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva, tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva, tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. If this sentence teaching did not come from the mouth of people, we would never have understood this. That is why the mind must be pure, then speech will follow the mind, like a wife, chaste wife follows her husband. And like the obedient, loving child follows the footsteps of his father especially. So this prana, that means our expressions of our thoughts in the form of concrete actions, follow our thoughts and our speech. And for that, the first instrument is the ears, Shruti. You can also say the Vedic scriptures. And this Shruti must be verified. Ishruti says everything is ephemeral. Is it true? How do we know? Exercise your eyes. See every day how many people are dying, how many are being born, how many behave so cruelly, how many are robbed, how many people are doing good. In this world, if anybody thinks there are no good people, there are no people who are well-wishers of this world and sacrificing their life for others, we will be terribly, terribly mistaken. Just as there are evil people, I think even more good people are available in this world. So this is the upasana. My mind, I am the mind. I have to purify, I have to transform my unripe ego into the ripe ego. And for that I have to perform, I have to hear the spiritual advice, how to live the life. And I must verify how I should live, how my guru is living, how Sri Ramakrishna lived, how Ramana Maharshi lived, how the rishis, munis lived. As Sri Ramakrishna says about the rishis, when somebody passed a bad remark, he said, never say such a thing. Early morning, these people used to get up, even though they were householders, go away far from home, spend whole day in deep thinking, forgetting the world, thinking only of the Atman, and come back in the evening to satisfy their hunger with roots and fruits and take a few hours of rest. And that is why they became the rishi. By definition, a rishi is a mantra drashta. Rishati janati iti rishihi. One who knows the spiritual truth, real truth, he is called a rishi. So we must become rishis. For that purpose, God has given us the body. Body is consisting of 5 sense organs. They can be directed, misdirected. They can be ill-directed. They can be well-directed. And that direction should come after hearing the scriptures, after cultivating holy company, we come to know about it. And then we must verify whether the scripture is telling the truth. Open your eyes. Jagrata. Not only arise, awake. Why was Sri Ramakrishna so happy? Even though he possesses so little from the worldly point of view, why so many swamis are so happy, so satisfied, so pleased with themselves, with their simple life? They must be getting some happiness from somewhere, devoid of all these external objects, which we are convinced without them we cannot be happy. We should understand, we cannot be happy with them. Whatever tends to give us happiness also tends to give us its opposite effect, and maybe in greater degree. So this is the essence of this ahangraha upasana, which ultimately leads. First it leads from withdrawal, which means what is called detachment, non-identification, neti-neti, from the external world, from the body, from the mind, etc. And this available pure mind is now directed towards God. That is called upasana. Finally, even that instrument through which we are approaching God itself is discarded, or it melts finally in the divine. Then there is like a river, nama rupe vihaya, samudro bhavati. Every river that merges in the ocean, loses its name, form, taste, color, everything. And thereafter it is known only as the ocean. So this jiva completely gives up jiva bhava and becomes merged in Brahman. Thereafterwards, others can call such a person, he is Brahman. But if body mind is alive, they are called jivan muktis. This is the essence of this Pangta Upasana. And then a person who realizes this Ahangraha Upasana, what does Sarvam Apnoti, Tat Idam Sarvam Apnoti Ya Evam Veda. One who performs this Ahangraha Upasana, Pangta Upasana. Pangta means mind, speech, prana, the eyes and the ears. What does he get? What does not he get? He gets everything. He gets Brahman. Brahman means everything. Tat idam sarvam apnoti. Who? Yaha evam veda. He who succeeds in performing this ahangraha upasana, and then only aham remains. Graha falls off automatically. This is the essence of this ahangraha upasana. With this ahangraha upasana, the 17th mantra is over. And with this, the 4th chapter is over. And what is the essence of this? So this is what Swami Vivekananda had come to teach. Uttishtata jagrata prapyavara nibodhata. So, in this first chapter, we have seen how the srishti has started. That is the leela of Brahman, Brahma leela. It is also called Brahma chakra. Samsara is called Brahma chakra. But if we forget it is Brahma chakra, that is what in Hindi they call it, chakrame padagaya. I have fallen into delusion, misunderstanding, etc. So, after Bhagavan first started the srishti, panchabhutas, first subtle panchabhutas, then gross panchabhutas, then creation of the gods, then creation of the human beings, then he divided everybody into these 4 castes, varnas. I'm afraid to use that word caste, because that is inevitably associated with birth, which is an absolute anomaly. It should not be understood. It is only through quality, guna. Which guna is dominant? Sattva, rajas or tamas. And then Bhagavan created satyam and dharmam. And to put this satyam and dharmam into practice, Bhagavan has created this varnashrama dharmas in the form of do this and do not do that. So for every stage of varna, for every stage of life, there are certain duties appropriate for that stage of life, and the discharge of those appropriate dharmas take us, help us evolve further in both varna. A Shudra becomes a Vaishya, Vaishya becomes a Kshatriya, Kshatriya becomes a Brahmana, and I will also tell you in the next class. So a person develops gradually intelligence. That development of intelligence ends in the rebirth as Vaishya. That is, I want to earn more and more. I want to know more and more. Who can become a successful businessman? Only an intelligent person. And then, to protect what one earned, one requires strength. For that, I must develop tremendous strength, not only to earn, but to enjoy and to protect yoga and kshema. And then, after some time, that I must make everything external into the internal. That is called to become a Brahmana. So a Brahmana is a spiritual person. Everything is spiritualized. Spiritualizing whole life is called living a Brahmana's life. These are marvelous thoughts that the Upanishad wants us to grasp, understand, retain and ponder over and slowly develop. We will talk about these things in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.